I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
Three employees and two work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Hannah Oli, Pop Rock Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rock de Pop Rock Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, the heavy hits on Zaya. Okay, listen to Pop Rock Radio, made Jamie Rock.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, Pop Art Painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. I'm taking a break from painting, talk to some cool rock stars. Tuesday for me. How cool. I've got the best job in the world. I'm not complaining. We have a fantastic band from South Florida, actually, Southeast Florida, and they are just super cool. I love their music. Chasing Stars. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing great, man. How are you?
Doing great.
Fantastic. Yeah, so guys, I'm also in Southeast Florida. Very cool. The fine folks at Curtain Call, Brian over there, sent over your press kit to me. So check these guys out. So I did, and I'm like, man, these guys are awesome. This is a great band. I did not know. Let me ask you this, because I just, my kind of going out days, I still do occasionally, but it's way occasionally. Is there a big rock scene here in Southeast Florida? I had no idea.
There is. You just have to know where to look. It's a yes and no kind of thing. You don't think Southeast Florida and think rock or metal, but the bands and the scene definitely do exist. There's not a lot of places for them to play. So you have to either meet someone that's in it that introduces you to it, or stumble onto it completely by accident. Otherwise, it's just, you know, if on the outside, it's okay. Is there a rock or metal scene? We're very close to Miami. There's a lot of hip hop, a lot of reggaeton, like
EDM, all that kind of shit.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. So you really just have to know where to look. But in my experience, I go to a lot of local shows, and the scene is very much alive and well. You just have to know where to find it.
Absolutely. That's awesome. That's fantastic. I don't care where you live. I'm talking to folks out there. If you live somewhere and you think there's not a cool scene where you're at, whatever scene that is, support it. Support what you do find. Go to shows. Exactly like Dad's would just go to the shows. And if you support the scene, we'll support you. Bring a friend. Bring some luck.
Bring a friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Very much alive. The reason why I appointed Tony is because Tony's the one that goes mostly to local shows. Like, I'll go occasionally, and so does Tyler. But Tony is probably, every time there's a local show announced in the area, he's always there. There is, like, a really big, like, underground deathcore scene.
Oh, nice.
And it surprised me. It caught me off guard. I was recording one of my artists, and he's like, oh, let's go to the show that's going down to some bar down the street. And I'm like, okay, cool, let's go. I walk inside, you can't even walk into the place from how packed it is. I'm like, damn, Jesus, I didn't realize that there was this much of a big shit. It's got a music down here. We're like walking inside, like, where it was just.
That's so cool to hear. And I love hearing that because I'm the thing, I'm old now. And the thing is, somebody who asked, because believe me, I spent 20, 25 years hanging out in nightclubs multiple nights a week. Majority of my life, I have lived in discotheques. But the reason being is especially when I lived out west in California, the people that were interested in buying my particular art, that's where they were hanging out. So I was there working, making friends and trying to sell some art. I'm an old man now, and it's expensive when I go out. Everybody's like, why? Because I got to get a VIP table or whatever. And they're like, oh, so you're cool? I'm like, no, not at all. So I have a place to sit down while I walk into a room that's shoulder to shoulder with people. I don't want to be waiting for a drink and standing all. I can't do it. I'm old. And so but to get one of them tables, if you want to sit in a good club, You're paying for that shit. And I'm pretty cheap. I don't have to pay anything to sit around my house. Plus, I talk to cool rock stars a couple times a week. That's the best part of going out
there. Oh, that explains the podcast. I see.
It was so funny. When I first moved to Florida, I had never planned on that. I came to visit a friend of mine who was a go-go dancer back from my LA club days. And I was on the East Coast here doing a show. And she's like, hey, come down and visit because I know you'll go back out west and you'll never come back. And I said, okay, my name's on the door. I can do that shit. So I did. And she took me out. She's like, hey, there's this club that's going on in, it's on the Gulf side, Naples. And I'm like, okay, let's go. And went with her. She was of a certain persuasion. So we were scoping out the girlies together there. And met my wife and have a look back. But all of my California friends are like, you're moving to Florida. What, are you going to hang out in all the clubs in Miami? I'm like, no, man, I got a girl now. That's how you lose a girl, hanging out in nightclubs.
That's right.
It's very true. And my one friend's like, why don't you look into this podcast? I'm like, what's a podcast? I didn't know anything about it. And he explained it. And I said, I don't know how to do any of that shit. And he's like, you got a master's degree. I'm sure you can figure that shit out. He was right. I don't know. There's a lot of in my audience right now just heard me say that going, well, Jamie, when are you going to start figuring this shit out? Because it's hit or miss, buddy. Which I laugh at because the video stuff is. Audio-wise, I got down. But video, we've only been doing since last September. Everybody talked me into it. Chasing stars. Number one, let me ask, you guys are all from South Florida?
I'm from Georgia initially, but yeah, we're all living in South Florida. Dez is the farthest north.
Nice. I grew up in Metro Detroit, and I hung out with musicians growing up. I've never been in a band. I've never had that talent that you guys have. I can draw the shit and paint the shit out of stuff. Music wasn't my thing. Wasn't the gift I received. But I hung out with all musicians because they're cool. They know a lot of girls, and they have the best parties. Always. Much more so.
We always have the best parties.
But anyway, I hung out with them. But I picked a few things up hanging out with them. And that's when you see bands, a lot of times when they coalesce, there'll be somebody will have an idea. It's usually what it starts. They're in a band that they're like, these suck. I hate them. I'm going to do my own band and I'm going to get the best people in the scene in that band. I definitely want Tony on drums. We got to get Tyler on bass, Dez on guitar. And we need a front man. I don't know who you get. Miguel. That's it, Miguel. Is that how it happened with you guys? Did you guys kind of form from the scene? Or did you know each other? Or did you answer Craigslist ads? How did it come together?
No, Miguel and I have known
I met Tony on Tinder. And from there on, I just kind of swiped on. And I was like, yeah, this is the guy. I like his hair. I like his physique. Nice Dragon Ball Z tattoo. And then from there, actually, I met Dez on Grindr. And that's which does. We've all known each other for a while. Me and Tony used to play, and we've played a couple bands together. So it was just kind of, let's start off with me and Dez currently play in another band. And we just kind of, hey, let's make something that's just kind of like fun on the side. So we just had to come up with Chasing Stars. And initially, the idea was it's going to be a project where it's just like two guys in a studio. And that sounds wrong. Two guys in one studio, pretty much. And
I've seen that internet video.
It's really strange.
I'm teasing.
We started the project, and as we were getting Fallen done, Dez started sending it out to other people, and people started listening to it. And then it started just getting bigger and bigger from...
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
You all from the nights. There, and I'm like, are we 4 minutes in? Oh, we are, cool. that's fucked me now, because now I have to go through like doing Spotify, doing the website, getting the emails going, pretty much all the backends. And I think in a matter of a couple of weeks, I already had all the backend stuff done for Chasing Stars. And I think he told me like running around like a madman. He was like, Miguel, you have to sit down and breathe. I'm like, no, because now people want to hear the songs and there's nowhere for them to. So in the meantime, we were in. I had asked Tony a while back, because me and Tony, we were really enjoyed playing together. He wanted to jump in on drums, and Tyler, we just met up at a show that he was playing with his other band. And it was just like, hey guys, if you need a bass player or guitarist, I'm like, fuck it, there goes the band. I guess we did some things.
Nice.
We all kind of like talked about it for like 5 seconds for the next 20 years. And now every time they play a gig, I'm like,
there will be infinity pools all around at the end of the journey, General. Stay tuned.
I met Tyler actually the most recently. So I manage and produce his other band, and I had to fill in on drums for a show for them because their drummer was dealing with some family shit. And because I'm a drummer and I helped write some of the drum parts, I was like the only person that could fill in at such a last minute notice. So I did. And Miguel happened to be there. And within 30 minutes of them meeting, Miguel was like, hey, do you want to join this other band with me and Tony? He's like, that's really how that went down.
Nice. Nice. Hey, when it works, though, when it works. Pretty cool. So let me ask you guys this. Being a rock band and whatnot, it isn't just a rock band. I don't know. My wife loves your guys' music. I do, too. But she's a 90s kid. I'm not saying you guys' music. You guys' music sounds very fresh to me. It doesn't sound 90s at all. But I'm saying genre. I'm speaking genre-wise. I don't know if I'd put it in new metal, because new metal is 3 decades old now, so it's not really so much new.
It's coming back, though.
Yeah, there's a resurgence. That's what I was going to say. And I think it's fantastic. It's very aggressive music. And teenagers and young adults, that's what they dig. That's why punk rock worked. Anti-authoritism, screaming literally in your face. You know, that's your guys kind of sound like that. There's a lot of pissed off young people. They're like, I can never buy a house now. Love it. I'm going to have student debt till I'm 100. Love that. And, oh, I can't get a job now? Awesome. Me and my wife share a Spotify account. And when she's coming home from work, it's about a 20, 25-minute drive from Delray to here. And if she's had a day, because the little thing pops up on my screen here when Spotify's being played and what's being played. And her big thing now is Sleep Token. She's playing Sleep Token constantly. It's weird. It's Sleep Token and the Pink Pony Club. It's a weird mix. But okay. If I see Korn come up or something, I'm like, oh, shit. Been dealing with Karens today. Know what mood to expect is going to walk through the door. And I'm prepared. Your guys' music's very cool. The old punk rock in me just really digs it because it's very aggressive. And I like that. You could rob a bank to your guys' music.
I wouldn't go that far.
Kiss the girl, either one. Very cool stuff. Now, when you guys got together, have you guys been playing out yet? Or is this still a studio project at this point?
We've had rehearsals already. Actually, our third one? Yesterday, we had our third one yesterday, so we have currently working on getting the whole live set going with playback and all the stuff, and Tyler's department doing the live stuff. That's his stuff. It does an amazing job at it. So we've just been like going back and learning the songs. For right now, we write everything in a studio, so I try to incorporate as much as I can, so it's not just me and Dez. So like Tony, the way that it's right now, it's a little bit scattered because it's hard for us because we're not all in one area. And Dez is the main producer for the band. So we're practicing a song live and Tony does something that's really cool. We're like, oh, we like that there. Or if Tyler does a scream in like a certain place, we're like, oh, we like that there. Or we switch things around. So it's more of like, as the songs are getting done, we're also like making them better. We haven't played like a live show yet. Our first show is going to be in Oklahoma. It's going to be in June. I think it's from the 13th to 13th at Rock the River.
Talking to Tyler.
Thursday the 13th.
Before we came on camera, because I was looking at the website. and it caught my eye because it's a name of a town you don't hear that often, Tahlequah, Oklahoma. And I was telling Tyler, I was born in Tahlequah at the Indian hospital there. It's the seat of the Cherokee Nation, Tahlequah. And like I said, you just don't see it that often. The only time I see it is if the tribe said to me something, hey, check this out or whatever. It's always too far away for me to, oh yeah, I'm going to run right over to Tahlequah to do that. It's a bit of a drive.
Or yeah, it's just a hop and a skip away. You know, it's...
And every year they have a big thing there in September, which is the Cherokee Nation holiday, they call it. It's a big festival of Indian stuff. Every year, me and my wife are like, yeah, we're going this year. We're going this year. And her big thing, she has a crystal business. She sells crystals and she's into all that new agey stuff. And there's a state park in Arkansas on the way that you walk around these fields and they got diamonds in the field. And everybody walks around with a bucket picking up rocks and shit. And she wants to go. I'm like, okay, we'll go. But see if you go. Arkansas diamond finds, and there'll be a bunch in the state park. But she wants to, I'm like, hell yeah, walking around in summer heat, that's in a field. That's not what I really want to do. Oh, she's like, diamonds, Jamie, diamonds. Don't you get it? We'll stop on the way. We never go. Every year shit happens and it just doesn't happen, but we dream about it every year. But anyways, they do all kinds of cool festivals there. I get updates on that shit. And yeah, the river, it's River Rage or something it's called, or River Fest.
Rock on the River.
Rock on the River. That's what it is. That's a big one.
With a W.
How cool is that? Very cool. That's awesome, too. I think you guys are smart to do every free reduce. We got a couple. Not only are the band members, folks, I got to remind myself, they're also producers. So I got to tread lightly with what I say. I do want to write. New bands out there know there's a lot of mythology in America, and one of them, especially in music, is that, oh, let's make a band. I saw the movie The Doors. We're just going to lay around the studio and eat pizza, and when I have an idea for a song, we're going to write it. And that may have been true when Jim Morrison was around and there was a big record company sent in the studio a check. That usually isn't the case. When you go into a studio and you hire somebody like Dez or Tony, the meter is running. It's like riding in a cab, baby. You're paying by the second. So it behooves you to have as much shit done and in place before you get into that cab. Then you have money to spend on other things. Videos. I don't know. Rehab stents. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm not teasing. No, it is. It's very true. But you guys have two people in the BUIs, all your professional musicians are in the business. But from a producing standpoint, too, because music production, from what I understand, is pretty fucking hard. You have to know your shit.
There's actually three of
you. Yeah.
There's
actually three. Well, it takes a long time to learn.
Three of you.
Yeah. Miguel's been producing for
there you what, go.
13, 14 years at this point.
Just about.
I'm actually the most recent.
Tyler, that makes you Shirley Manson. I'm kidding. I'm teasing you.
I love Garbage. That's a great band.
Yeah, it's all producers.
Yeah, I just started producing within the last couple of years. Dez and Miguel collectively have over 20 years experience. We're definitely in good hands as far as a solid group of writers. And you know what's great is the writing dynamic is different band to band, depending on who you ask. And it really just depends on each individual's role. I don't try to write guitar parts for Miguel and Dez because I don't have to. I'm a guitar player, but I'm not the guitar player for this band. And in my experience, whatever they write is going to be the most effective because it's going to be coming from them and they're going to love it more that way. If I hear them do something and I hear a little tweak that I think of, I'll share it with them, but it's up to them. They're the ones that are playing it. They're the ones that are singing it. That's not my job. You know what I mean? And I think having the ability to understand where each other's roles are and where we fit is part of what keeps it stronger and healthier, because we're not We're not trying to compete for any, we're not trying to compete for credit or anything like that. So, dude, I don't want to write your shit for you. I don't. Right. Because if I have to write everything for you, then that just shows incompetence on your part. I love the fact that I don't have to worry if y'all are in the studio on your own. I trust you. Go nuts. I'll come in. Now, that being said, I'll come in and fix the drum parts because as the only, Dez isn't a drummer, but if he's tracking and mapping drums, there's some shit that producers and guitar players will notoriously put on the drum maps that a normal drummer with real ligaments can't play. So I'll come in and try and make sense of it so that it sounds like something an actual drummer with arms and legs can play. But generally speaking, they're pretty good about that. And I, with the exception of a couple of fills or a couple of tweaks here and there, what he puts down, it fits the song and it suits it. So I don't have to micromanage. And that's great that I don't have to do that. And we all just understand where our rules are. And that kind of just helps everything go a little smoother.
It's cool with bands that I've noticed is it's one of the few art, I don't know, maybe performance art, like dance or something you might, I don't know enough about that to make this observation. But with bands and musicians, bands are weird. They're all strong, usually strong individuals. And then this weird thing happens where it's almost like an ant colony, like a hive mind, like with a look, Tony can give Tyler a look or vice versa or whatever. And they're like, okay, we're changing the rhythm here. Here's this. And nobody, and you would think people would stumble over it, change ups or things. And it doesn't, with a real good band, it doesn't happen. Everybody thinks on this same wavelength. And you just don't see that. There he is. You just don't see it in other art. And I think it's, I don't want to throw around the term magical because I think that's a little fag. It's just something cool when you see it happen. When you see a good band and you notice it a lot when it's not such a good, when it doesn't.
Right.
I've seen that too.
Yeah, we all have our roles when it comes to playing music or really anything in general, even when it comes to marketing ideas and stuff like that. Like we all play our own little roles. But at the same time, even though we have like our own roles in what we do, we still ask each other, hey, do you think this is a good idea to, for example, yesterday I went to practice and we have these shirts that I had picked out for us to play live. And these guys think we should print the logo on the back of the shirt. Everybody's, I think it's such a good idea. Okay, screw it though. We won't do it. So we always try to like compensate and collaborate with each other than being combative with each other. Tell me your drum part sucks. No, we just sit there. We go, okay, let's try to take this up a little bit. Or try to play the bass a little bit this way. Dez is God. So nobody really says anything to Dez because he'll slap us silly.
I'm the goat. For three practices, you'd be quite surprised at how good we are as a band already. Yeah. It's pretty insane in my opinion.
Very cool.
You know what I mean?
In our house, people always think that I'm the one. And yeah, my name's on the door and stuff. When I finish a painting, my boss has to sign off on it usually. And that's my wife. I'm like, okay, I'm ready for you to look at it. She'll come in the studio and say, yeah, I think it's good to go. We can post this or we can ship this. That isn't always the case. Sometimes she comes in. That right eye's looking a little weird. I'm like, send me the picture to paint of it. The guy's wife, that's what she's got, a weird right eye. What do I tell? And she, but does she have to have a weird right eye? Don't you want to fix this a little bit? And I'm like, yeah, okay. And she's always right. She's always right. The guy messaged me back a couple days later when he gets the crate and he opens it up and he's like, hey, you captured her perfectly. And I'm thinking to myself, no, I didn't. Her eye looks great in the painting, but in the picture, you might want to get her an eye patch. No, I'm kidding. And
painted by...
That's right. I use AI sometimes these days. It's funny in the art. I don't know if you guys, in the rock world, if it happens so much, but everybody, when AI hit, everybody in the art world, man, they were like, oh, it's the end of us. And I'm like, it seems pretty useful. For example, and what I mean by this, folks, somebody will call me or email me usually, and they're like, hey, can you paint a maiden in a castle? She's got to have red hair, green eyes. And they give me all the list of what their fantasy gal is. And I'm like, yeah, I can do that. And I my wife, I don't know the name of the site, my wife bookmarked it on here for me, but I go there and I type in all the, I just cut and paste usually, all the shit they sent me, and it comes up with 20 pictures to those specs. And I'm like, that's the one. And then I don't print it or trace it or anything. I just use it as a reference. That shit out.
Yeah, and then it's same though that we do in music. And to be honest, it's one of those things that we also, and by the way, it's awesome that you paint. Loved painting. I did it when I was younger. It was great. I really enjoyed it. I don't do it anymore because obviously music destroyed my life.
The better job. Your brother
that's right.
Doesn't interest me that much, but I guess it's nice to be appreciated. Anyhow,
you were. Yeah, but I think that it's always good to have a reference point, especially if something that works. So Chasing Stars was one of those bands that was like, I'm not trying to like reinvent, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're just trying to write some cool shit that we think that is awesome and is simple enough where like a kid in his the house can like pick up and play.
Absolutely.
We're not trying to like be the next Periphery or trying to be like the next Mishra. That's not a
dream theater.
I think you guys are really, you're firing it on all cylinders. I love the logo. It's simple. I tell so many, I'm not in the music business, but people ask my opinion on this shit. And they're like, especially metal bands, new young metal bands, they're like, what do you think of your logo here? I'm like, you're not Queen. You don't need a maiden. You don't need a castle and a stream and a dragon flying in front of the moon. Because when you reduce that shit down to a Zippo lighter, it's just going to be a white blob on there. You don't want that. It's not going to look good on a t-shirt. Some little skinny chicks wear it. Right. You want it to look good. Your guys' logo, I love it. It's simple and direct and perfect. The website even. I dig that. But you guys have been in bands and in this business, so you know all this shit. The learning curve. When Tony's saying, oh, yeah, they've been doing this shit for 20 years. To me, what that says is, wow, you have saved 20 years of making mistakes. They've already made them. They've already learned from them. They already know what doesn't work.
Not to mention the cost effectiveness of having a bunch of producers and videographers in the band and shit like that. You know what I mean? So some between videos and music production, that's probably two of the largest expenses for bands overall. You know what I mean? So we do it for free, you know, so that's always
beat that.
Huge plus.
Speaking of which, let's play. We're playing Falling and we've got the, let's see, it's a lyric video on YouTube right now that's out. I dig. Let's play this so people get a taste over time, and then we'll talk about it and video and whatnot. Here it is, everybody. This is Chasing Stars. This is Falling. Check it out. we're back, ladies and gentlemen. I told you, Falling. What a great track. I like the lyric video of that, Des. It's, and everybody, it's fantastic. I personally am a huge fan of lyric videos, especially for a band. They're not as expensive as renting a speedboat and having a shootout through the Miami Keys or something. It's, people don't know. They're like, well, you just take an afternoon and make a music video. No, that isn't how that works. It's expensive. You're going to be writing checks. I think with lyric videos, you do too. There are some lyric, Falling is one of them that I really like it. There's a band called V&V Nation that had, I don't love the name, I can't think of the name of the song. It's about like a bounty hunter and he's chasing a guy down and they set up the lyric video. So it looks like a first person shooter game. It looks like a video game.
Oh, that's cool.
And in the corner by the health stats are the lyrics to the song. And I'm like, that's a clever way to do that.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool idea. For sure.
It was different. But I like lyric videos. First of all, let me just ask, I'm curious for Tony and for everybody's opinion on this. I'm a child of the 80s. I'm an old man. So, of course, I love music videos. I'm one of those, oh, they're art type people. But I always ask musician friends, I'm like, what are your opinions on music videos? And they're usually two camps. One, they love to do them. It's exciting and fun. Two, they're a necessary evil. They hate doing them. They're a pain in the ass. Tyler, where do you fall on that spectrum? Do you like music, doing music videos?
I like doing a mix of both. I think it's great. It's a great marketing strategy in general, having like music lyric video come out, let the song sit for a month or two, and then do a kick-ass fucking music video and giving that song brand new fucking life.
How about you, Tony?
I think when it comes to realistically, anybody that says that music videos are like to do or they're necessary evil, I think realistically that just comes down to the company that they keep and the team that they're working with. Because in my experience, all the videos that I've had the pleasure of doing, I've been very fortunate in working with some of the best videographers down here with my other project as well. And music videos are always a blast. It might be hot if their studio doesn't have AC, but it's always good vibes. It's always fun to do. And the end product is always worth it. So I don't think anyone should consider them a necessary evil. I will say, going based on the cost element of it, you have to be smart with them. Not every song needs a music video. And you also need to think, what can we do can make this stand out without spending $5 to $10 grand to do it? And, you know, what hasn't been done 100 times? Everyone can do a performance video shoot, but it comes down to the ambience, the background, the lighting, the little thing, like a glitch effect. If you're shooting it in super high speed and then slowly panning, there's, and again, that it just goes back to like your experience shooting music videos just comes down to who you shoot with and the team that you have behind you. I always have a blast doing music. I've always worked with great teams. If you're miserable shooting music videos, dude, find a different fucking videographer. That's all there is to it.
Listen, it's an expression of your art, man. And it's, acting is just like playing on the fucking stage. It's the same shit. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, I've always found pleasure in doing music videos. I think it's great. And like Tony said, especially if you got a good director you're working with who knows his shit, he knows what to matters. Make everybody do what he needs them to do, then and get the best out of everybody too. That's definitely a pleasure to do, and I'm for it 100%.
And Miguel, you're left. Where do you stand on it?
I do both, so I shoot them and I've been in them. So it's kind of like what Tony said. It's really all like who the people that you work with. I've had video shoots where they're like miserable. We're just like standing around. If the director himself is not energetic about the music video, if he doesn't care enough about it, nobody else is going to care about it. So you need to have a director that really cares about it. Like almost to the point where it's almost ridiculous. So you're like, is this guy fucking serious? You gotta get a director that's to that point for the people in the band to be like, oh yeah, this is gonna be fucking great. And it's also preparation. You don't go into a music video just to shoot a video on your iPhone and just, hey, what are we gonna do? I don't know. We'll make it up on the way. It takes a lot of preparation, especially when you're doing like storyline based stuff where it's a little bit of performance, but it's mainly a story. There's a lot of little details that you need to capture in a music video. And that's me speaking from the director side of a music video. But yeah, I enjoy doing them. So it's one of those things where sometimes I look back and I'm like, is it really worth doing? And then I remember that there are people that don't think like me. Like there are people that want to see a video. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. All right, let's do it. And most of the time I've done it, it's always been a great experience.
Yeah, and it's also an intense team-building exercise, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of camaraderie and a lot of, you know, a lot of hanging out and just working together and to get shit done. And if you guys are maybe a little bit shaky before the afternoon of shooting, by the end of the day, everybody's on the same page because they've been working together all day and on the same fucking
Yeah, and then we go to Taco Bell.
So it's definitely good.
Dunkin' Donuts. Every pirate ship needs a captain. Doesn't work real well if you don't have it. And some cool pirates. Otherwise, you're in the Navy. Nothing wrong with that. You don't get to wear the cool clothes, is all I'm saying. With those bell bottoms.
Yeah.
Anyway, very cool. Yeah, I remember it was a long... I hired a videographer once. And he really was more of an internet guy. I think it was back in 2002. It was a long time ago. Internet wasn't as strong. It was just starting out. And I had this idea to put a bunch of video, a bunch of my paintings, put them on a VHS tape and send those. I would have a package that I would, like a press kit, to galleries and stuff. And that's when I was just starting out. And so we did that, and I actually had I bought a bunch of VHS tapes that were only like 3 minutes of tape, and so I wasn't having to send out a bunch of blank tapes that people would record over. And yeah, that guy, he wasn't cheap. I think I paid him $1,000 or something, and it was just what they would call a slideshow today of the paintings flipping around and this and that. But at the time, suddenly I was in 12 different galleries at the same time. You know what I mean? It was, people wanted that because it stood out. Like Tui was saying, you want to do something that stands out, that hasn't been done a million times. And whatever you're trying to achieve, sell some MP3s. Speaking of which, I forgot to mention, Falling is out, right? People can buy it?
Yeah. They can buy it on our website, or if they want to sign up to the website as an email, they'll get it as a free download.
Nice. There you go, folks.
Yeah.
Buy it if you can, because that always helps the band out. And people always ask me, they're like, you have these cool bands on your show. Where do I get their music? And I'm like, at a show, at a merch table. There's always a cute girl at a merch table. Talk to her. Buy their shit.
That's right.
It helps immensely. No, I'm not going to... Oh, sorry. Quinn.
Listen, you can buy this song, or you can stream it 17,000 times, and we'll get the same amount of money.
Yeah, we only make 30 cents.
On a video on YouTube, there's a loop feature on there. You really want to help a band out. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. No, it's cool. It's very cool. Yeah, always get it from the band if you can, though. I don't want to give away the big secret. I don't think it's that big of a secret. But these streaming sites, when you buy from them, there's a pie. The streaming site, and everybody gets a piece of pie. Not all pie pieces are equal. And all I will say about music,
that's great.
Streaming, that business model was in any other type of business, people would be in jail on fraud charges. It's terrible, that setup. That the musicians who actually make this work hard and have made this, they should be, in my opinion, be paid a lot better. But I don't run the world. It is what it is. But if you do buy directly from a
That's
band,
right.
They get all the pie. That's the best way, in my opinion. That's all I'm saying. Anyhow. Well, that's cool. So you guys came together, a bunch of producers. Obviously, you're making cool shit. Of course, I wouldn't expect anything less from you guys. With your guys' pedigree, of course it's good.
Yeah, yeah, my dog needs pedigree.
There you go. The chick. Yeah.
I'm messing with you. But going back to your little bit on your point on Spotify, like, I'll be open about it. I was like debating about putting our music on streaming platforms. I literally just wanted to leave it on the website, put it up on YouTube, and then if people wanted to see the live show, they can hear the tracks there, or like on YouTube, for example, because YouTube is actually a bigger streaming platform than Spotify. So I was hesitant about it because of that reason, because I've seen over the years how since Napster, everything's just gone down in the music industry. And I feel like that, yeah, the music artists don't really get paid enough to do anything that they do, really. Everything that we do comes out of pocket from our 9-to-5s. And it's understandable coming from a new band.
But it's a drag.
But unfortunately, your music career is gauged by the music business based on what you do on
Spotify.
So you got to be there.
And that's why I always tell people it's so important. When you find a cool band you like, and this applies to anything, indie film, anything, whatever. Somebody baking bread, they'll have a website. Hit that share button, man. All of your friends like the same shit you do. That's why you're friends, common interests. So help get the word out, because we do. Dez is absolutely 1,000% right. We live in an algorithm world. And these guys will tell you, when you sit down at a table with a guy, and they're in South Florida, so he's probably not wearing a suit, but he's wearing a nice polo shirt and button down with some khakis, probably has a ponytail. The first thing he's going to ask is, what's your engagement? How many followers do you have on Instagram? That's what they care about. And I get it. They're trying to hedge their... Listen to the tracks, man. That's how I would hedge the... If I'm going to bet on a horse, I'm not looking at stats. I'm going to watch the horse run a race, and I'm going to see with my eyes what that horse can do.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're having a bad day. I might lose out on a deal there, but I've always thought I trust these better than a bunch of stats is all I'm saying. Or I would bet on it.
It's funny you mentioned not focusing too much on the stats, and we've had this kind of discussion internally quite a bit, and we're very fortunate to have the team behind us that we do, because the team behind us, obviously we won't go into too much detail, but like, we only have one song that's released right now, and our team actually believes in us. And a long time ago, that's what labels were supposed to do. And the mindset has so shifted where I'm not going to name names for obvious reasons, but my other project had spoken to a label, and the wording verbatim, I shit you not, was, you look and sound great, but because you have less than 350,000 monthly listeners, we're not interested. And I'm like, let me make this very clear to you. If I, as an independent, can get 350,000 monthly listeners, I don't need you. You're wanting me to do all the work. Exactly. You're wanting me to do all the work to then take half of whatever I may be worth at that point in time. And that's not what teams are supposed to. And our team saw the vision, saw the potential, and said, we want to help you reach this and push this further. That's what a label's supposed to do. And a lot of bands and artists now are wising up to the fact that all they care about is a temporary moment of virality. And for a lot of labels, again, not going to name names, but that's bitten them in the ass, because instead of focusing on the artistic ability or the drive or the hunger, they focus on a temporary moment of virality that this artist or this singer or whoever can give them, not necessarily realizing that doesn't always translate to longevity in terms of career. And that can bite you in the ass. So you're wanting them to do all of it, pump out all the numbers, have a moment of virality, go viral on whatever platform you think is important. Tell me where they are 5 years from now. And if you think that investing in someone like that was a good idea, because the mindset is just completely ass backwards. And for a lot of bands, by the time they get to this, to that point where a label's even interested, they don't need you. And if they're fortunate enough to have built that by themselves, unless you can offer them a really fucking sweet deal, they're likely to just stay independent because it's so ass backwards to what it used to be. And we're very fortunate that we have the team behind us that we do, that they see this as, you know, what labels you see it as. It is a risk. It is an investment. It is a gamble, because we don't have millions of streams right off rip, but they believe in us because they can see the vision, see the potential, see the drive, and say, okay, all they need is and not just, oh, let's wait a few years for them to do everything themselves and then we'll think about it. Like,
exactly. They are the same way, man. I had a gallery, a big gallery in Atlanta, want access to my email list. I'm like, the email list I'd spent at the time, that was like 50, was a couple years back, but I'm like, I spent 15 years making this email list, and you want me just to hand that over to you? People that have been buying $1,000 painting? No, that ain't happening. You're already wanting a 60-40 split. I'll tell you what, why don't I just rent your gallery for a month? How about that? Take all the shit out of it, put my shit in it, and you can work on selling that. Guaranteed income that way. They weren't real. They were offended, but we don't have any say of what you're putting in. No, because you don't know what you're doing. I know what I'm doing. But it's, and that worked out pretty well. I can't complain about it. But it's weird because, yeah, Napster was the worst thing that could ever happen, because what that did is it changed the music industry. And now all the indie artists like you guys know how to do all this shit. You're like, oh, build a web. No, I'm not paying some kid to build a website. I'm going to build the website. How about, and I'm going to make the video.
It's like a double-edged sword. It was great on one aspect, that now artists that I would have probably never had anybody listen to them, now you can build your own fan base and you can do whatever you want. You'll post whatever you want on Instagram, Facebook, whatever on your website. But you'll have people attracted to it. I always say, like, it doesn't matter what you write. There's always going to be somebody that likes it. So it was good in that aspect. What also made it more difficult was that now to get to a higher step, you have to put in a lot more work.
Absolutely.
Before, you would have A&Rs coming, so they'd be like, well, this band. And then you would, from there, it would just take off. Now it's really become all talentless, or it's not really about talent. It's just all about numbers. It's become like super corporate. And that's the reason why, you know, we believe that like independent labels is going to be the future of the music industry. Because it's a lot easier to work with. I can call John right now and be like, hey, John, what do you think about this? And he'll hit me up on the spot, if not within 10 minutes, if he's not busy. Corporate bullshit going on in the background.
The level of visibility has increased significantly with the technological boom, right? So anybody can get out there and put in the legwork and get noticed, or at least have somebody beyond friends and family only listening to their stuff. But on the other spectrum, like you're saying, Migs, is anybody with a laptop nowadays is a fucking music producer now. You know what I'm saying? So it's you're like a needle in the haystack with all the tools in the world to make yourself big if you actually put in the work.
And I think people need
to
remember,
crazy, but
the reality is, and I tell people, I mentor some, again, art world stuff, but I mentor some people in the art, building their art business. And everybody's focused on likes. Oh, we need followers. We need likes. We need subscribers. I said, I'll give you a good example. I was telling you guys, I've been doing a podcast since 2013. And we were, most of that, 90% of that was an audio based show. Finally, my wife and all of our friends, you know, like, Joe Rogan does videos. I'm like, I ain't Joe Rogan. I don't have the weed for it, the patience for nonsense. But you have to. I think on YouTube right now, I don't know, we got 50 subscribers or something because we just started doing it. But on our audio side, like this podcast, for example. Yeah, I know 50 to 70 people are going to watch this pretty quick. But I know 15,000 are going to listen to the podcast on Spotify or wherever. Because we've spent 15 years building that. It took a long time. But the thing is, likes don't equate, and even in that, given that, likes don't equate checks. I can't take likes to Publix and buy a sub. They don't care how many likes I got. They want cash.
Right.
And it, likes don't equate selling MP3s. Fields knew it, but you have to. And a lot of people, I think there's several reasons for that. I think there's, and I'm sure you guys have seen this too in the music business. I know for a fact, I'm sure you have. It's The Voice and all these competition shows. Everybody thinks it's a shortcut and everybody wants to be famous. I want to be famous. I want to go to cool parties and date models. Play 3 hours a day for 20 years and learn your craft. Then you can do something. Maybe. It's, you got to put the work in. What did Ringo Starr say? You got to sing the blues or pay your dues if you want to sing the blues. You got,
Yeah, I think a lot of people want to get ahead too far without doing like the back end stuff, especially as musicians or creative people in general. We're really bad at like business understanding, management, managerial things. So we're very fortunate that we have Dez, and Dez is very, he used to be a real estate agent. So he's very, is that right, Dez, a real estate agent? So he's really good at like negotiating back and forth. So he understands contracts. So if you get a contract that says, like the other day we had a conversation with the label before we got into current call, and they were saying something about, something about like how the funds would be recoupable. I didn't even know there were so many words for the same thing. It's very good to have somebody like that in the band. That's like straight business. You need somebody like that. And this is our guy. But a lot of artists don't take the time to figure out the back end of like the music industry. They just see, oh, they're going to sell these stars, their dreams. They don't see the how financially they're going to actually. We're just going to create.
It's an incredibly emotional sale. That's what it is. It's an emotional sale. They sell you on a dream. We're going to make you fucking famous. But meanwhile, they're giving it to you on the back end.
And people in the music business do a little research. You hear stories and stuff, but everybody's all, I want the record deal. No, you don't. You got to pay that loan. It's not a record. It is a deal. They're giving you a loan that you got to pay back. And the literary world's the same way. I have a lot of author friends, and they get sold the same bill of goods. Oh, yeah, we'll do a deal with you here. And they give, and here's musician, it doesn't matter, creatives, exactly like Miguel is saying, people with not a lot of experience with money, we'll say. That's a good way to put that, I think. People who haven't had a lot of, suddenly get a lot of money. Those people spend a lot of money quickly. And
yeah, essentially, it's what we were talking about when we were talking to the other label was something about getting a loan for some different departments that we will be working with. And I'm like, in that case, I can just go get an American Express that has like a $20,000 limit. And I'd rather pay you back a 30% interest than 80% and my master's.
Right.
So what is the benefit here? I don't see, especially when you're talking to a band that the three out of the four of us are producers and you have a videographer and photographer in the band. I don't see what the necessity of that is. Because we handle all the marketing and stuff. Like now that we have Current Call on board, it's a lot easier to deal with. So that stress is a little bit off our backs. But I still go out of my way to pay for ads on Facebook or do some stuff on Submit Hub or whatever I use to get our song around. So it's just dirt to me how these record labels nowadays are trying to get back like 80 to 100% of their investment when it's just as easy as like.
Absolutely. And smarter. You control that debt. Yeah. And the thing is, the more people, in my experience, in all the business experience I've had over the years, like I said, I'm an old man, the more people involved, the more people you have in any type of business deal, that's more people that can fuck things up. Somebody can have a bad day, say something that's wrong, make a mistake, and then everybody's paying for that shit. I don't invest in stocks. I don't do any of that shit because I work hard for my money and I want my money working hard for me, but I want to oversee it. You know what I mean? I got to look at the chessboard, but that's just right. My personal experience. But from a product standpoint, from an art standpoint, guys are really good at what you do. I don't work for Curtain Call. I think Curtain Call is great. I worked with Curtain Call since, I don't know, 2015 or some shit. Everybody knows them. They've never heard a bad thing about them. They're really good at what they do. At the same time, you guys are really good at what you do. And I'm not just saying that. You know it when you see it.
Yeah, I appreciate that, brother.
And I see it with you guys. And again, I'm not trying to sign these guys or anybody. But I'm saying, and I'm glad we're having this conversation too, in addition to all the cool things about being rock stars. Because there's some kid right now in wherever, Des Moines, Iowa, that's watching this on YouTube, and he wants to be where you guys are. You know what I mean? These guys live in South Florida. Mm-hmm. He probably lights cigars with $100 bills and run around with models and drive Lambos. That's the dream everybody has. Just a note, folks, you watch all those videos of these guys in South Beach with their Lambos. 99% of those are rentals. Letting you know.
Yep, I used to live very close to South Beach, so I would see it myself. And it's funny, too, because you would see the guys pulling up at the club, and you see him walking out with all these girls, and all of a sudden you read the tag, it says the rental agency number and stuff. I'm like, really? Nobody picks up on this? It says rental right there. Like,
absolutely. I used to hang out with a bunch of DJs, and you'd always see them. They'd always have videos of them. Their plane, getting off the plane. You'd be some little Lear or something, some little G6. And it had their name on the door of the DJ. And I'm like, doesn't anybody notice that's a magnetic sign, you know, that they slapped on there before they filmed it? Nobody's painting a G6 with somebody's name on it. Rich people don't do that.
Yeah, you see it all the time, but especially like living in like Ocean Drive area or something. I never lived on Ocean Drive, but close enough, right? It was probably like a 7-minute ride for me. And yeah, you would see it all the time. People were just like faking it. I used to actually personally know a guy on my previous job. It's fabricator, welder. He was actually genuinely like a good guy, but he had a problem with women. So he was out there doing crazy shit all weekends, but he would blow his paycheck almost at least twice a month. He would get paid,
yeah.
Go rent a Lamborghini, just go to the clubs and just rent a Lamborghini ain't cheap. Some people think, oh, I'll just rent a Lamborghini. Like, dude, it's $2,000 a Lamborghini per day. I've looked into it because I wanted to hear some music videos with a Lamborghini or a Ferrari or whatever.
You guys know in our neighborhood here, we got the A1A over here, and you see those big. Yeah, if I were to own a boat in my dream, I would like it to be big enough that a smaller boat could fit inside of it, and you could leave and maybe have a helipad on it. You see those over there on the intercoastal, but understand to take one of those out for the day is like $100,000. You got to pay the crew, you got to pay the fuel. No, it ain't.
It's funny that you bring up boats too, because me and Tony used to work at that company
page.
That was.
We were on the same page.
Yeah. We used to, and let me tell you, most of the boats that we would work on, because we used to do fabrication, and he did insulation and installations. We would go to these yachts that were like anywhere from like 80 feet or above. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm talking about, we worked on some yachts, like 400 feet.
Not little Dexter boat, folks. Where
not, yeah, these things had like decks on top where like it would just, the whole ceiling would come off and the jet skis would land on the water. Like, I'm talking about like high-end shit. We would talk to the captains. They'd be like, yeah, the owners are never on this boat. They just charter it out. These boats are a business.
For your younger audience, let me put it this way. The most expensive yacht you can own on Grand Theft Auto 5, we worked on those IRL. There you go. They do exist, and they're not $8 million like you see in the game. Try like 40.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I always tell people this. Everybody's, oh, I want to be rich. I'm like, yeah, rich is great. Rich, somebody, one of my clients, one of my collectors, higher-end collector, he had me pay. He owns, his hobby is he collects vintage race cars. He's got a big giant building with all of his, I don't know, he's got 80 or 90 1963 Lotus, whatever, that was war in the planet.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So he hired me to paint, to do portraits of each car. He's got an easel with the painting there next to the car. He thought that would be a good flex. I'm like, yeah, that is a good flex. If you can afford to do that, I'm your guy. So I painted a shit ton of these, but that's great. We love him around here. But the thing is, he told me one time, he said, everybody says, all these young people say, I want to be rich. He goes, rich is flying first class, and there's nothing wrong with that. First class in the front of the plane is always better than the back of the plane. You're sitting in a human-sized chair. It's great. He goes, but really what they don't understand is wealth different than being rich. Wealth is owning plane and you're by yourself and what, you know, crew and whatnot. That's wealth. Mm-hmm. You own a fleet of those, way different than sitting in first class. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't know personally, but it's a good goal. I guess if that's your thing, I don't know. My advice to anybody out there listening, be happy. Somebody you can be with. Get yourself a good dog or whatever, or a good cat like Miguel. And
my cat.
Strive for happiness, security, comfort, good health. That's a big one. I never thought about when I was Tyler's age. You know what? I didn't give a shit about health. Tell me, you get that 5 in your age, and you're like, Jesus Christ, I should have wished for health. Should have joined a gym, man. Every morning I wake up, I feel like the Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz when he needed the oil key. Yeah. In my mind, I'm still Tyler's age, but the machinery certainly isn't. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I've noticed since I've gotten older that that's like, how, at least for guys, that's how it kind of works. That we have this mentality where we're still stuck at like 18 or like 25. But like physically, we're just like for example, I'll give you an example. I go out and I play basketball every once in a while with my little brother. And I'm like, oh yeah, in my mind, I still remember how to play basketball because I was pretty good at it. But the body doesn't want to. I've almost snapped both of my ankles on the same day playing basketball. I'm like, really? I think that I'm jumping 6 feet in the air when I'm jumping like 2 inches.
Yeah.
And I'm only 34, by the way.
If you decide to help, if your friend needs help moving, I don't know, they've pissed their wife off or whatever. That's ending. They got to move. You're helping move a futon from a second floor apartment or a condo or something. You will have a conversation with your body the next day. And if you think your wife hollers on you, just wait for those.
You're going to have a come to Jesus.
Yeah, I'm telling you. So that's cool. So I know you guys are playing Telequa because we talked about that coming up and whatnot. When do you think the next, because I'm asking this because I'm greedy. Yeah, when is the next single going to come out, do you think?
Our next single is going to be out May 2nd. It's going to be a cover from Ghost from Justin Bieber. May 2nd. Now we're actually getting together. Yeah, we're getting together to shoot a music video for it with our awesome photographer, Robert. Or Spin Style on Instagram. Go check him out. He does awesome photography and videography. So yeah, May 2nd, we're going to have Ghost coming out. It's going to be up there for everybody to see. It's already getting ready on Spotify. I saw it the other day. I was like, oh, cool. Something else is coming out, you know?
I feel bad for Justin Bieber, man. I was never a Justin Bieber hater. I don't hate on anybody, but I remember getting into it on Facebook when Justin Bieber was hot, when he was peaking, somebody was bitching about him. And I'm like, dude, I get it. You're a 45-year-old metal guy. Of course you're not liking Justin Bieber because
he's not for you.
Yeah, it wasn't made for you. Imagine my dog's food wouldn't taste very good from the smell because it wasn't made for me. So I'm going to avoid eating that. Then Justin Bieber, you're like, whatever, pop star. Didn't think much about it. I knew he did some crazy shit. And then that Diddy shit went down and I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Poor kid.
I feel bad.
Yeah, I think
that's not good at all.
I think people started understanding more of his perspective. Yeah. Like you mentioned getting a kid that's 14 years old off of YouTube. So they give him all this fame and power, but then he realizes when he's into the industry, like everything that he's always wanted to achieve, he's achieved it. But then it comes with a bunch of baggage of the Diddy stuff and stuff before that. Like even at the Grammys, when people were just like walking up to him and kissing him in the mouth and stuff. Plus, the music industry is a very weird place, and I'll be the first one to admit it. There's really strange people in the music, especially like in the Hollywood level.
It is.
That's a whole different conversation, though. But there's some shady shit that goes on.
No, absolutely. The art world is worse, man. The art world. Music's bad. Art, big fancy high-end art parties. You walk in, some guy's dressed up like a dog on a lead. It's bad. But it's
got that crazy lady, Andrea Marakovic, whatever the hell her name is, that does like the cannibalistic party stuff. I'm like, this is just weird, man. This is not, I don't think this is art at this point.
No. It's just people with too much money. People with it's bored Romans is what I say. People with too much money and they get bored doing whatever because they got too much. They don't remember being hungry or desperate or whatever. The rest of us, I'm sure you guys all still remember working hard. Checks aren't, health insurance would be nice. You know what I mean? But we got to cover all that shit. We got to take care of that shit.
Now, when I made these guys sign the contract, there was no health insurance. It was 25 cents in a gumball per show. That's it. That's right. Yeah. Don't give him ideas, Jamie. Don't give him ideas.
Yeah.
Shot of Jaeger or something once in a while.
Yeah, that's a bonus.
I'm still young enough to be on my mom's insurance.
That is a great. Keep him in the band. He's covered.
I just aged out of my mom's insurance.
Oh,
I'm
fucked. Yeah, I'm telling you, about 15 years ago, now that I think about it, I did a little hospital stay. Note to anybody out there, any of the young bucks out there, if you ever get a hernia, get it fixed, because don't do the guy thing where you're like, it'll fix itself. I'm not worried about it. I did that, and I wound up in the hospital for 3 months, 90 days, folks. I did a hot, and that's bad, 16 surgeries, all this bullshit. But that's where it started. What's worse is when you get the bill for a 90-day hospital stay.
You could have rented out a few Lamborghinis.
I'll put it this way. For 60 of those days, they had shut my digestive system off, shut it down because they had to repair a bunch. I had a bunch of shit that went wrong. It was like a domino effect. But for 60 days, I couldn't eat through my mouth. Had to eat through an IV. And the nurse would come in and make the same joke every day. So here's the most expensive dinner you'll ever have that you never will taste. And party up.
Cold hearty.
Damn. Telling you, when I was looking at the bill, when I got the bill, each one of them IV bags was $2,000. That was a $2,000 dinner daily for 60 days.
You had a $2,000 milkshake, my boy, directly injected directly into your stomach.
Yeah, it was bad. I'm telling you. It was about to save my life. So I can't, life is good. But Jesus Christ. Yeah, so take care of yourself when you're Tony and Tyler's age is all I'm saying. Yeah, take a walk around the block once in a while. Get a dog. Walk. No,
we won't
go
there with my age.
I'm with Dez and Miguel, man. I am like, Jesus Christ.
Haha, Miguel, you got lumped in with them.
Listen, it's fine, my boy. I'm like half the age. I'm good. I'm chilling.
I know. You know what it is? I shouldn't judge
these guys.
On
I'm
this.
A fucking 55.
I see that expensive keyboard and stuff behind Miguel, and I'm like, oh, he's got it. Yeah, look at all that expensive mic and shit he's got in. Yeah. It's
my shit. Look at the shirt that I have selected.
Meanwhile, poor Dad's dog is getting yelled at once again. He just wants to be on the show, man.
That's right.
Make me famous.
That fucking bastard.
Nothing wrong with that. Dad, my dog's right here. She's the podcast producer.
Yeah, listen.
Anyhow.
There's Miguel's studio. Here's my studio.
That's right.
Times have changed. Remember that when you go into you guys working normally, but I remember I'd hang out with one of my musician friends. We go to the studio. It was a big deal. We walk in, there'll be some guy like Dez sitting there in front of a board that looked like you were in a 747 and going to take off or something. It had a million switches and knobs and you wanted to touch it, but you couldn't. You daren't do it. And that was the day.
That's right. Now all you need is a laptop and a pair of headphones.
Said every techno DJ ever now. It's crazy. Guys, again, Chasing Stars, we have clickable links in all the description and everything. They are really cool. Help get the word out. Check them out. You can get the track for free. Just sign up at their website on the email list. And there you go. Doesn't cost you anything. Shit. Pretty cool. Go. They're going to start playing out soon. I guarantee it. Go see them when they do. And definitely follow this band because they are going places. Thank you guys so much. And thanks for putting up. I know we've moved the show like once or twice or something, but really appreciate you guys being cool. Four times? Was it really?
This is the fourth time.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry. I had no idea.
You're slacking, Jamie.
Effing Brian.
Slacking, my boy.
Oh, I'm kidding. It was me. It probably wasn't Brian at all. Jesus Christ. I'm so sorry about that.
We have fun here with
Jaeger shots on me next time. Seriously. We will have.
Listen, I'm in Boca Raton. I'm down the street from.
That's true. That is very true. And that's very true, too, because just get ready, Miguel, because you're going to get some invites. And all of you guys, because you guys are all in the neighborhood, really. I consider if you have to drive less than an hour and a half, that's the neighborhood to me. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, facts.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Florida. That is Florida.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, and I'm telling you, I've got this giant backyard that I've been working real hard on. Every aging hipster like myself wants a nightclub in their backyard. That's what they set up to do. I know my wife's like, where are you going to put the band stage? And I'm like, now that you mention it, I didn't even think about that. We need a stage back here now. And I know a band.
You let me know, my man.
Migs, you bring over some tubes.
You let us know. Hit me, Dez, anyone's up. We'll make it happen.
Absolutely.
We'll break that stage in for you.
Guys, thanks so much for being on and being patient with me. We're posting this tomorrow, day after tomorrow, I don't know, sometime this week. Yeah, the 17th. So this will be all done and everybody will be seeing it. Again, follow these guys, like their stuff. Get the track, man. It's free. Just sign up on their website. You can't ask more than that. Guys, right. We will see you next time. Thanks for listening. Oh, and if you made it this far in the video, you dig it, like and share. Or subscribe. That's what you're supposed to say on YouTube. And subscribe. I know everybody says...
Smash the subscribe button.
That's right. We have one of those. Right down here. Anyway, we'll see you next time, everybody.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited.
Hola, Oli, Pop Rocks Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.